When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm not even going to let you do an introduction. Big Ducks win! Yeah! Holy shit. If this is what cocaine is like, I don't even need cocaine. I mean, I don't need cocaine anyway. Don't do drugs, kids. But like, wow. That game was awesome.
Whew! Yeah. No, for sure. That was a fun one to watch. Your energy is, you know, way more than I have, but I feel like...
I'm not sleeping tonight.
No, I 100% agree with you. I wish I had the energy to do that because I am in exactly the same mood, just way less hyperactive than you.
A little bit. I was having so much fun with Twitter tonight and everybody who was, you know, interacting with us and everything. Thank you for doing that. It makes it so much fun. And oh my God, it's way back in the notifications now, but I'll try to find who exactly said it here. We got a very nice shout out and everything like that here too.
Oh yes, there. I noticed that. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So from at LBC Halo Quacks, so positive Ducks fan Bob, who had said, shout out to the Quack Report pod for keeping it real all year long. More like you, please. Thank you very much, positive Ducks fan Bob. It makes it fun to do this stuff.
Damn it. Sorry. I was going for this one.
I'm being all sentimental and you throw that shit out here. It makes it more fun, though, when we have people like you guys interacting with us and listening and watching the show and everything like that. So obviously this is for you guys. We wouldn't be at season 3 without you guys and, you know, Dylan and Isha at the Hockey Podcast Network. You know, continuing to put their faith in us and enjoying our content. So
for sure. Also, just want to shout out Marcus because he's here and he shows up for pretty much every he single
really
episode.
Does, yeah.
I honestly get very concerned when he doesn't show up. I'm like, is Marcus okay? Like,
I remember. Side thing, really quickly. Yeah, I remember seeing something that was like this pizza place had gotten concerned actually because one of their regular customers hadn't placed an order on their regular day, and you know, they actually had sent somebody to check on them. Like, this person had, I think, been doing it for years. I don't remember where it was. I was just kind of remembering this. But yeah, they sent somebody to check on them, and there was actually some medical emergency. So actually, the person, like, you know, with routine and everything like that, it actually saved their life, which is amazing. So pizza saves lives, everybody.
Yeah.
That's the lesson to take from this. And as well as listen to Carter and I, Dallas Eakins, because you do everything that we told you to do last season. I know it's easier said than done, but you do it and we win.
Look at that shit.
We play the young guys. You give them a chance, they win. You have a decent power play, we win. You have a decent penalty kill, we win. You let John Gibson do his fucking thing, we win. Yes.
Yeah, no kidding.
You play a full 60 minutes, we win.
I'm very glad that Mason McTavish is getting the Jamie Drysdale package from the coaching staff and not the Trevor Zegras package, because like just letting him play, like putting him on that second power play unit with some veterans and even he was lined up with some veterans tonight, and like he obviously flourished. He got 2 points, and that's really all you can ask from the young guys at that point. So it was really awesome to see. That was so fun.
Yeah, and he was on the ice for at least the first 3 goals. I'm not sure about the 4th one. Let me see if I can pull up Game Center really quickly. But, you know, he was potentially a +3 here. I'm not sure if he was on the ice for any goals or that. Let's see.
Keep in mind, plus minus doesn't keep track of power play.
True. So. But yeah, Mason McTavish was a plus two tonight with a goal and an assist for 2 points. One shot on net. He only needed the one shot, apparently. and laying the body as well with a hit and a takeaway in 14 minutes and 40 seconds time on ice.
Damn. So what I'm hearing is if you've got yourself a Bangers Fantasy League, Mason McTavish could be a good pickup. Goals, assists, hits, not really shots, but...
Yeah.
And if you track penalty minutes in your league, then also maybe John Gibson.
Apparently. I don't know. I think you saw the tweet that I had put that he went to the Nate Thomas School of Goaltending this summer. Oh, man. I was bad for getting penalties in my junior career. To the point that in my last season, it was the first game of my last season. I told my team, I'm like, all right, my goal this year, you know, besides the team goal of trying to win a championship and anything like that, my goal is to have no penalty minutes. The very first game I got into it with somebody, and some of my teammates called me out. They're like, I thought you said no penalty minutes. And I'm like, yeah, it's before the guy cross-checked me in the throat, though.
Yeah, no, you tried. That's all anyone can ask.
Yeah, for, exactly. Really. The effort was there at least. So, and the effort, sorry to sear it back, the effort was definitely there tonight. I was talking about, you know, how we were complaining basically the entire time last season. And I get with COVID and everything like that, just the state of the world in the NHL last year, it was definitely hard. I 100% get that. And, you know, just listening to a few different people talk about last season, I think a lot of people are kind of in the mind frame of like, yes, obviously last season happened and it's not to take away, say, from the Tampa Bay Lightning of winning a Stanley Cup back to back and whatnot. But for a lot of teams and a lot of players individually, last year is a little bit of a write-off because of just things not being normal whatsoever, right?
Yeah, no, for sure.
So, but, you know, playing the full 60 minutes or at least 55 of it, I don't know. It felt like the team was playing an entire 60 to me tonight.
Oh, absolutely. I can't think of a time that they weren't all in the game. I
exactly.
I really can't.
Yeah, and when that happens, though, you can beat teams like the Winnipeg Jets, who were an improvement from last year. They did make the playoffs last year, correct? In their division, or did they?
The Jets?
Yes. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah. Because they beat the Oilers in the first round, and then...
Right. Sorry, I wasn't a joke to rub it in at you or that kind of thing. I genuinely forgot for a second.
Yeah, fuck you.
Okay, that got you around. There we go. But it's a playoff team, an improved playoff team. That defense, right? They were still trying to figure that out last year in Winnipeg, and it's definitely better this year, at least on paper. But you know, like being able to defeat a team like that, especially early on, because over the last few seasons we've seen slow starts from the Ducks. And as I talked about on the pregame show as well, yes, last year, again, a little bit different because there wasn't exactly a preseason, right? So those first seven games of the regular season that you would normally have preseason games, right? You're still kind of getting back into it. Mm-hmm. But this was great. Full effort. And this is what happens when you play the full 60 minutes. You have a chance, right? So it was really great to see. I mean, we got so many different positives here. I don't know. There's so many different headlines actually you could go with for this game besides, you know, Ducks going 1-0 on the season. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know from what we have here, and maybe you have more as well. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with Mason McTavish. I think that's the reason everybody's here right now, especially Marcus. You know, what a game. My boy McTavish scores. Mason motherfucking McTavish. Great game from the boys, Red. Great game from Mason McTavish and others. Like, the dude, like, was awesome tonight. Like, literally no complaints. And it's his first NHL game. Like, what more could you ask for with that? To me, that's the biggest headline, you know, taking out everything that happened last season and all that, like just looking at this game, how it is, that's the biggest headline for me. So let's start with him.
He played great. He played, I honestly, when I saw his name on the opening night roster, right? Like the 23-man mm-hmm. roster that was released. I was, and not to say that, you know, he didn't deserve it, or at least mm-hmm. the look, right? I was honestly a little surprised, though, to see Mason McTavish on that lineup mm-hmm. in the best way possible. I thought it was going to be right away, okay, we'll send him back kind of thing, right? Like he was just drafted in June, July, whenever it was, right? So, but it seems like he's at least going to get his 9 games. And if he continues to do, I'd say, like, honestly, like 70, 80% of what he did tonight, mm-hmm. this kid's staying with the big club.
Oh, absolutely.
I know it's one game, and I'm trying to remind myself of, like, of that for everything here right now. But he looked that good, right? Like, he is an impact player. He was a big impact player in this game. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, like you go back to the goal that he scored, right? It was off a rebound, and he's crashing the net. What 18-year-old do you think typically crashes the net, especially when the goaltender is Connor Hellebuck, right? So he played great tonight, and I can't wait to see more of him. And same thing, like kind of what I was, you know, not as happy about with Zegras last year. I don't want them to baby him. Right.
I think he's proved that they let him play. Yeah, like he's proved tonight that you just gotta let this kid go. And I really hope that some of the backlash on Zegras had a part to do with that. So they were like, okay, maybe this season's probably gonna be a write-off. This kid wasn't even supposed to really play Mason McTavish. He wasn't supposed to play tonight. It was because Max Jones was out with a sudden illness, right? So to just put him in and let him do his thing and just be like, okay. Win or lose, just play your game. It doesn't matter. Make mistakes, crash the net, score your goals, do whatever you want. And so I think that bit longer of a leash is really good for him. And I think, you know, as the season goes on, you got to maybe tighten some things up. Like, okay, maybe we're doing well in the playoffs. We're not going to put you out for the last 10 minutes of the game. Let's let some veterans take it. Like, there's got to be a little bit of management there. But I think for the most part, and at least now for the 9 games, just let him do his thing and show what he can do.
Exactly.
Do we expect 2 points a night? Well, I mean, I do. I don't know about you, but
he has set the bar. I expect nothing less.
I want him putting up 3 points a night by midseason, 4, you know, by trade deadline, 5 points a night by the end of the season.
Yeah, exactly.
Going into playoffs. No, but like if he at least puts in the same effort that we saw, because you could see the effort he was putting in. He was all over in front of the net. He drew a penalty too. I can't remember who it was on, but some dumb defenseman that likes to take penalties. I don't even remember. But
I can pull it up here.
Was it Stasny?
No.
No, that was Drysdale that took one against Stasny. I don't remember.
But started with a D, wasn't Zegras.
Dylan?
No, not Dylan. DeMello. That's who it was. Yeah, it was like a knee-on-knee collision, and Shattenkirk went straight for blood.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking about that one. The one I was thinking of was he was trying to like sneak past someone on the boards and drew a holding penalty.
Oh, that was Zegras with Stasny. Yeah.
Near the end of the game. That's what I was thinking of?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
I think in like the last 10 minutes. Yeah, that was Zegras on that one.
No, that was doesn't matter. Not the point of the conversation. not DeMello. What's his fucking name? McTavish. It's late. It's like after 11 where we are. And
yeah, true.
But I'm so hyped that I need to just get this all out. So he was drawing penalties. Like that. He was honestly, I don't know how it shook out, but he should be the first star of the game. Well, maybe second. He should be a star of the game anyways.
Oh yeah, 100%. I was going to say even, I don't know what the 3 stars were either. My first star would have to be John Gibson.
Yeah. As soon as I said that, I was like, oh no, never
mind. McTavish, definitely second star. I'll give him that.
There we go. Let's see if we can get all three. Who's the third star?
Third star, I'm going to take a guess as Adam Henrique.
Good guess, but no. Honestly, you probably won't get it. So first star, Gibson. Second star, McTavish. Look at us go. Third star was Isaac Lindstrom.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, he still had a solid game. 2 assists.
Oh, yeah, he did.
And yeah, just a really solid game. And I hope he keeps it up too, because he was looking real well at the end of last season. So,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, I really hope McTavish gets his 9 games. I hope that he, you know, can continue to prove himself in those, I guess, 8 games that he has left, mm-hmm. and at least solidify himself as like that depth forward that they can rotate in, like that 13th forward at the bare minimum, you know?
Yeah, exactly. At the bare minimum. Honestly, if he can, like I said, if he continues the 70-80% type of play of what he did tonight, let's go with 80%. Mm-hmm. Middle six, I'm very happy with.
Oh, absolutely.
That would be the minimum for me, honestly.
And that's very attainable on this team.
I think so as well. And that's not to say that we don't have, you know, great guys in our lineup. But obviously this game, like, as it has been for the last few years, it's moving towards the young guys, right? Mm-hmm. Like besides, you know, the Henrique and Raquel goals, this was a, or I guess Shattenkirk as well. But you look at the, okay, so on the score sheet, yes, it was the veterans, but you look at the game overall, and this was a young man's dominated game, 100%.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
So,
okay. Just because you brought him up here, I want to just kind of jump down to Kevin Shattenkirk, scoring the first goal of the season for the Ducks. He picked up an assist tonight too, didn't he?
No, he didn't. Just the one goal.
On the power play. Oh, no, it was Silverberg. Yeah, the other S. Yeah, but the comment I wanted to make on him is, especially early on in the game, I thought he brought a very calming veteran presence to the ice.
Like, he did, actually, yeah.
I thought that all of our young guys, really our whole team, just kind of looked shaky to start. The Jets, too, which is totally understandable, first game of the season. But
yeah, just the nerves.
We only had like the one shot in the first 10 minutes, and we got a goal on it, which was great. But
yeah,
like, it was just, something didn't feel right. I was very uncomfortable watching it. I was like, man, like, we do not look confident at all. But then Shattenkirk just threw the puck on net to try and get a shot and be like, okay, first one's out of the way, let's go. And it ended up going
exactly.
In. And he just made other calming plays in the defensive zone, like just simple, here's the puck kind of plays. Like, he just passed it with such finesse. It was mm-hmm. It was awesome to see. He was pretty invisible the rest of the game, but in the first 10 minutes, I thought he was like very, very noticeable.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, you're right. It was definitely a little bit jittery at first, but you know, it's definitely high energy, especially from the Ducks, which I was so happy to see. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, at least for like, it was like the first 5 minutes, I'm like, okay, this is at least a good start. That's an improvement alone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You know, that first goal was scored, and it made the jitters just into momentum.
Yeah.
Right. And they just rolled with it for the rest of the game. And that was, you know, substantial considering they were down 2 penalty kills already in the first period alone. Right. Which is what made the shots so lopsided.
Mm-hmm. Which,
and that was,
hold on. Yeah. Sorry. We got to talk about the penalties. Dude, I thought that like there's got to be a conspiracy out against the Ducks.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck were those penalty calls? There was a few I understood, but especially in the first period, those were awful. Like the one on Gibson. I'm sorry. That's
they're going, hey, the Ducks aren't actually supposed to be this good, or at least like playing this well. Let's give some to Winnipeg. It's 100% what the refs are doing.
Oh, 100%. Yeah,
and it was just, oh my God. Like, especially that Gibson one, the first one at least, which how many times are we going to say, how many times are you ever going to say the first one for the goalie?
Yeah.
The first one though is literally just John Gibson being a goalie. I'm sorry that you can't watch where the fuck you're going, Winnipeg, trying to go around the net. But like, that is literally just John Gibson being a goalie. There is like, yes, I get it. Mm-hmm. Penalties aren't always with intent. But that was a horseshit call. My God.
Yeah, no, that was bad. The second one, I mean, yeah, okay, you've got to call that one. I get that one. The roughing. It was...
Eh.
I mean, like, I get that Gibson was unhappy, but, like, at the same time, can you really just let the goalie pull the helmet off of another player? Like, I get it. fuck Dubois, but like, I get it, you know, like in that case, yeah, obviously you call both of them. The extra 2 minutes I don't agree with, but the Dubois and the Gibson penalty, those I agree with. That's my opinion. I know you disagree because you're a goalie and a Gibson fan and a homer, but
yeah.
I think that's all I have to say about the penalty kill. So,
yeah, penalty kill as well. I'm going to double check this because I was doing the outline during that third period.
Oh, yeah. We were not 2-2 on the power play. I think 2-5 or something like that. It was, we had more
power. Yeah, power play was 2-5.
Which still, color me shocked. That is
right.
That is impressive. But. But we played Zegras and Drysdale on the power play. So
yeah, it was good. That,
yeah. That's an improvement. Let's keep it, please. Please.
But the biggest thing for me, even more so than the power play, what was the one thing? Well, I think there might have been a couple things, but the one that stood out to me, what was the one thing that we were last place in with I think it was 8%?
Power play?
Penalty kill.
Were we actually?
I'm pretty sure we were dead last on the penalty kill.
Probably. I know we were dead last on the power play, too.
And again, the Jets' power play is very good, right? And we went 5-5 on it.
I think they said on the broadcast it was like top 10 in the league last year.
Yeah.
So we went
5-5 on it.
Like, I get that it's early, but when your power play consists of Kyle Connor, elite sniper, Nikolaj Ehlers, elite sniper, Wheeler, elite passer, I don't even know who they had on defense, but it really doesn't matter. So,
yeah.
Plus others, like that's a deadly power play. So,
100%. But yeah, I was very impressed. And that's such a, I think that might be in terms of, you know, stats and whatnot. Mm-hmm. That's probably the biggest positive I'm taking away from this game is that, is that penalty kill looked good.
Yeah. Oh, yes. I thought the first couple were very passive. I wasn't a fan of that, but they started to put a little bit more pressure on in the other ones, and that's the penalty kill that I want to see. That is,
yeah, 100%.
To me, is the, like, you do that all year long, we could realistically, not really, but we could get at least very close to a 100% penalty kill with that.
Yeah. Like, honestly, if let's... Oh, no. Okay. Sorry. I'm just kind of thinking here. I think you're right. The 80% was the power play.
Let me see. I know that the penalty kill was dog shit, though. Like, it was awful.
Let me see if I can find what the penalty kill was last year, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because an 8% penalty kill is abysmal. Like,
but at the same time, not far fetched thinking about last year.
Well, yeah. Yeah. See if you can pull it up, though. Because, like, to me, a good power play is like low 80, or sorry, good penalty kill is like low 80% success rate. And like an average one is like high 70s. So we're probably like 60s, realistically. If you can even find it. Stats from like previous years like that are impossible to find. So
yeah.
Also, I'm curious what. Yeah, go ahead.
Just loading here. Where to go?
I really need to put the Jeopardy music on the keyboard.
Yeah, the Anaheim Ducks penalty kill last year was 79.9%.
Okay.
It doesn't rank?
Or it doesn't say?
It doesn't say, but I can do it old school and count.
Oh, okay. That's dumb that it ranks them, or like it has them all, but it doesn't count them.
16th, it looks like.
So, middle of the road, but like still, to me, that's not great.
No.
So, especially when you have literally nothing else going for you, you could at least have a decent penalty kill, right?
Yeah. Everybody above us last season was 80% or higher. So, okay. And I know it's 79.9, but yeah, everybody else
round up here.
Was no.
No, 80% or bust.
You're stuck with the 79.9. You're stuck with the C plus.
Yeah. Okay. Before we go to break here, I just want your I want to know what this last thing on the outline is. What year is it?
Oh yeah.
What does that mean?
This is more like we actually played a full game. It was a quality game. Like we did pretty much everything right. So it was more asking what year is it? This is not 2021.
Oh, like, yeah. Is this the future?
Recent ducks.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm going back in time, man.
Oh, no. No, this is the future
now, baby. Is this 2007?
No, we're in 2030 already. Just wait.
Give it to me.
Okay. We've got a little bit more just kind of general hockey news to talk about here. Before I throw it to break, though, is there any last thoughts on this amazing game that we just played?
Give me 81 more of these, plus yes. 16 more wins in the playoffs.
82 and 0, baby. Early,
but give it to me. Give it to me now.
Do you want to change your division rankings? Or are you not that confident yet?
Part of me wants to, but I'm going to leave it. Yeah, again, the point of them is that they are way too early season predictions. Exactly. Yeah. So we will check on them at the halfway point and at the end of the season and see how far we were.
Yeah, it's not looking good already.
I would love to be wrong. I would love to be wrong.
Oh, yes. We did it so that they can only impress us, and look at how happy we are.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, let's throw it to break real quick. Check out our friends at DraftKings. Use promo code THPN. Make sure you draft your teams with all the Ducks players, only Ducks players all the time. And we will see you guys on the other side of that.
Another week of the NFL season means another shot to win big at DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet just $1 on any NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. The last 0-0 tie in the NFL was in 1943, so I'd say this is a no-brainer. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. So, what are you waiting for? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use the promo code THPN, throw down $1 on any NFL game, and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's promo code THPN, as in the Hockey Podcast Network, this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, official sports betting partner of the NFL.
Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
I just want to give a quick shout out here. I see a new name in the comments. Fefloria. Sorry if we mispronounced that.
Let's say it fast. Fefloria.
Maybe. Fefloria. Just saying, let's go Ducks from Hawaii. Welcome from Hawaii. It's probably a lot earlier there than it is here, which is probably why you're up and actually joining us. So thank you for joining us, and hope to see your name in future broadcasts. That'd be pretty cool. And just while we're... suck it up to all you guys here. If you like what you see, of course, make sure and like and subscribe on YouTube, like on Twitter, whatever. Leave 5 stars on all the podcast platforms because we really appreciate you guys listening, and we like, tooting our own horns and feeling good about ourselves. So if we make you feel good, make us feel good in return with those thumbs up, 5 stars, all that fun stuff.
Thank you for clarifying at the very end, because that actually was sounding a little. There was about to be drums playing in the background, if you know what I mean. Well,
a little bit of trumpet in there too, or I don't know what it's a. Oh,
maybe more saxophone.
Saxophone. That's the one. That's the sexy brass instrument.
That specific drum intro, if you know what I mean.
Oh, that one. Oh yeah,
that one.
Like the did you order a pizza kind of one.
I did, but I don't have any money.
Looks like you can. We got to move on from this. Okay. The Seattle Kraken.
That's just reminding me I didn't turn in my homework.
Nope. 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 I will shut this whole shit down. The Seattle Kraken made their NHL debut last night. I know you were watching it. I was watching it as well. First of all, as you said as well, and I totally agree with this, their away kits looked amazing.
They do look really good. I'm not normally the guy who, if you look at the wall behind me, And if you've seen any other, like, or any more of my collection or that, there's not too many white jerseys in there. I like the color jerseys. I like the dark bases and whatnot. Those white kits look really good, though. Like, that is quality. So,
yeah, for sure.
Like,
there
aren't too many jerseys that I'm not saying that I like it better than the home one. But there aren't too many that I feel are on par with their home kits.
Yeah. I haven't actually seen their home kits, like, in person, like, all together. So I can't comment on those yet. But yeah, they're a Wazer. Awesome. Yeah.
I think is that next week, I think? They're just maybe kind of finishing up with the, what's a Climate Pledge Arena?
Yes.
I mean, at least it's not Amazon Place or something like that, but it really, it could have been.
The front. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They have the smile on their home helmets, I believe it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because so their away ones had the Climate Pledge on the side. Yeah.
But yeah, their home helmet advertiser is Amazon. So it does just have the smile there. So, which is aesthetically pleasing to me, at least, because it's not super distracting or anything like that. I did tune in as well for a little bit of the Tampa Bay Pittsburgh game, and those bright blue PPG stickers.
Oh, they got those back again.
Yeah. Like, PPG, come on. Just let them make them black. Fit the
black
aesthetic,
come on.
Please. Yeah. And that's a little bit of a side thing here. That's, like, I think we talked about this before. That's one of the few things I'm kind of worried about with the advertising patches. Yes, I get they're small and everything like that, and whatever. Mm-hmm. Just make them aesthetically pleasing.
Yeah.
Just have them fit the aesthetic of the rest of the team, because it is such an eyesore. As much as you can't see it far distance, you know, like when they do the close-ups, when you have one in your hands, if they're going to be selling them with the advertising on it, mm-hmm. it's such an eyesore to have it be completely off.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, so, just as an example, and it wasn't even an advertisement, the old Calgary Flames jerseys that have the Canada flag on one side and the Alberta flag on the other, the Canada flag, it blended in perfectly because it was red and white, right? Mm-hmm. It matches the aesthetic. The blue Alberta flag, though, that was ugly. I don't know how they kept it for so long. I think they looked into actually trying to, you know, make it match the color, but I think it was some weird thing that, like, you can't tweak the colors of a flag or something like that technically. So, okay, it kind of makes sense, but, like, could have just been not. Especially when they moved to the Adidas look, right? They could have removed it they did with the piping. I'm getting into jersey territory here, but so just... it's at least aesthetically pleasing, and I'm glad the Ducks are actually, wait, did we actually didn't even really notice for the Ducks tonight. Sorry. I'm going everywhere here.
You're all over the place.
The Kraken's first home game is Saturday, the 23rd against the Vancouver Canucks. There you go.
Okay.
So not this Saturday, but next Saturday.
Cool. Let's talk about the Seattle Kraken and just how they played really, really briefly. Because they played the Vegas Golden Knights and kept it very close, 4-3 game. I mean, they kind of came from behind it at the end, but
yeah, it was a 3-0 deficit.
Yeah, so very impressive. Took a while to get their tentacles underneath them, I guess.
Yeah,
I'm trying to be funny. It's probably not working, but
I'm laughing.
It's a pity laugh. I know it. I've known you for so long. But they, I thought that their offensive pressure, not their offense, but, like, I guess forechecking pressure was a lot more than I expected. So I think they'll end up being a lot more than just a good goaltending tandem and a good, you know, defensive core. I think they'll score more than people think, in my opinion, just from watching them last night.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're hoping so. I'm sure Kraken fans are hoping so as well, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they definitely have pieces there. Like we were talking about, it's just, can they form the chemistry? So it'll be interesting to watch over the next little bit if they can form that chemistry. Early on, and I think same kind of thing, jitters and, you know, it was, a few preseason games or whatnot, but the defensive chemistry didn't seem quite there to start
which was surprising.
But
did have a few defensemen out with COVID, though.
Yeah, true. They were a little bit plagued with that. They were lucky to get three of them, like, last minute were cleared to play, actually.
Yeah, so that obviously messes with you as well. So.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But, I mean, I think it was at least a great first outing by the team. Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. So, yeah, I mean, sure. Would it have, I'm sure it would have been nice for them to get a win as well. Right. And, mm-hmm. For their first game and whatnot.
At least they didn't get stomped, though. Like, can you imagine? True. It's just like 7-0 blowout for your first game. Like,
exactly. Oh, so, and they, you know what? The game was actually closer than I thought, even. Mm-hmm. I'd made the prediction it was going to be a 4-2 win for Vegas. So it was still giving them a chance. I was thinking that fourth goal was honestly probably going to come from like an empty net or something like that.
Yeah.
It was still a closer game than I thought, even. So, and I mean, that's not really saying a whole lot. It's me, but it was a good game to watch, honestly. So,
for sure.
And I don't know if you caught any of like the pregame stuff.
I didn't actually, no.
If you can, like, take a look on Twitter for it, and anybody else as well who didn't see it, the in-game presentation staff for the Vegas Golden Knights are on another level, I think, compared to anybody else in the NHL. Because, I mean, you're in Las Vegas. You essentially get a Las Vegas show before every game. It is amazing to watch. I've been fortunate that I was able to go to two different games during their inaugural season, and it was great to watch the pregame thing every time.
Yeah.
So, and you know, they've just been continuing on with it. So, the one with against the Kraken was, they always have the Golden Knight out there, and he's, you know, fighting some beast or something like that. It seems like who's, you know, related to whatever team they're playing. And, they had this whole thing. It was like just, projected onto the ice, and this Kraken breaking through the ice and whatnot, and the Golden Knight vanquishing the beast and everything like that. It was cool to watch, honestly. So,
oh yeah, that would be pretty cool.
But they're on another level there in Vegas. So there's definitely a hefty budget going into their in-game presentation, 100%. So
yeah, for sure. Anything else you want to add about the Kraken here?
It'll be fun to watch them for the rest of the season and just kind of see where they end up. So I believe I had them sitting in fifth in our division predictions. You had them in last.
I did, which I'm kind of regretting now, but it's still early. So
it is still early. So
I didn't put money on it. So yeah, that's all.
Injuries and whatever happened, right? Like, again, they're way too early predictions. It'll be fun to go back and take a look at them. Mm-hmm. So
Exactly.
But it's going to be fun to watch. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Last thing I want to bring up here, this is a little bit more Ducks related, but on 32 Thoughts, the podcast with Elliot Friedman, formerly 31 Thoughts, but now with the Kraken 32, for those that didn't get that. They did like I guess, Western and Eastern Conference, two different episodes, just like previews for the season. The Western Conference one, I believe, just came out today. It was relatively recently, doesn't matter. But the Ducks got a very generous but minute and a half of the 40-minute episode. And really the main takeaway, no offense, Elliot Friedman, if you're listening, we love the podcast, but we get that there's not much to say about the Ducks. The pretty much the main takeaway point, though, for them was that a win for the Ducks this season is a improvement from the young guys for this team. And I just wanted your thoughts on that, if you thought, if you agreed, if you thought there was maybe higher expectations, or if you agree, but what are your thoughts?
I would have agreed before hearing about it, and the game tonight proved that 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. It's
that's really all there is to say, right? Like,
yeah,
they proved it. So it's one game, but it proved the point.
Yeah. I mean, we had 2 points from McTavish. We had 2 points from Drysdale, one of them on the power play, if I remember correctly. We didn't see anything from Zegras, but he was very, very noticeable. He was all over the ice.
He was. I do. Now, this is going to sound like last season.
Okay.
I do wish he had a little bit more ice time, though. McTavish had even more than him tonight, actually. Zegras was in the 13-minute range. I'm just pulling up the game sheet again here. Oh, what the hell? No, not condensed game. Don't play that. Thank you. I already watched it. Trevor Zegras with 13:22 of ice time tonight and 33% on the faceoff.
Okay. I think part of that reason, I think he still would have gotten a somewhat reduced ice time comparatively, but I think the big reason was that he doesn't play on the penalty kill, and we were on the penalty kill for quite a bit.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. So I'll hold judgment back.
Yeah,
until we're a few games more.
Yeah, Exactly. We'll see what happens.
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah. We'll see where we are like next Wednesday. Let's go. Or like two Sundays from now. So.
Yeah. If it's still the same, then we're going to have some angry letter writing to do. Not angry emails. Yeah. Those can be deleted. We're going full like Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone style, sending like 5,000 owls with letters to
the Howlers.
Dallas Eakins. Oh yeah, turn them into Howlers too. It'll be even
Dallas Eakins. How dare you not play Trevor Zegras?
That was pretty good.
The Tux fans and Pat Base and I are very disappointed in you.
Have you seen that recently?
No, I haven't. That scene just sticks out in my mind.
Gotcha. Fun fact, it's at the nobody else is going to give a shit, but just while I'm thinking of it, it's at the Cheap Theater right now in our current city. I went to see it on Friday, so I know that line pretty much word for word right now, and that's exactly how it goes. So,
oh, and Ryan, thank you so much for coming back again for one more season at least. It's going to be so helpful for our young guys.
Carter and Nate are very proud of you.
Oh, man.
Okay. We've got an upcoming game to talk about and then some what's quacking. Let's talk about the upcoming game before we throw up to another break, actually, here.
Sure.
Friday against the Minnesota Wild is our next game. I think that'll be a very, very good test for the Anaheim Ducks because this is tough. I don't want to say the Minnesota Wild are better than the Jets, but in my mind, I think they should be.
They should be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this will also be the Wild's first game, if I'm not mistaken, because they haven't played yet. I don't think they play tomorrow, but I'm not 100% sure.
You are correct.
On that.
It will be their first game.
It will be their first. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're kind of at the disadvantage there. So, like, I don't want to say if we beat the Wild, we're going to go all the way this year, but I think if we beat the Wild, we go all the way this year and win the Cup.
It would definitely be promising because let's just take a look at our first three games: Winnipeg, Minnesota, and Calgary. Winnipeg, good team, projected by most to at least be a wild card team. The Minnesota Wild, a lot of projections that I've been hearing, second mostly, third otherwise.
Yeah.
The Calgary Flames, we have them projected in the top three, at least.
Most people I've heard do.
Yeah. At least the top three, at least wild card. Not a whole lot of people are expecting them to actually not be in the playoffs.
Yeah, they're going to be in the mix for sure.
And honestly, I was kind of surprised actually how many people are, and maybe this is also just me being a bit of a jaded Flames fan. Is that the right term, I guess, for this? Just as a Flames fan as well, it's the season kind of feels not as excited. Like, obviously, I'm excited for hockey to come back and everything like that, but it's not as exciting for that team, it felt like, at least as a fan. But maybe, yeah, just have to look at it from a different perspective or whatnot. So, so I was a little bit surprised actually that, you know, people were putting them as high as they were. And it wasn't just, you know, a biasy of you and I kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, these are the first three teams that we play.
Calgary's a division rival too, so that's going to have a little bit more oomph to it.
But all three teams are projected by a lot of people to be in the playoffs, right? They are good, quality teams for the most part from front to back, right?
And they play tough games. Winnipeg is very physical. Calgary's very physical. I haven't seen a lot of Minnesota recently, but
Minnesota can definitely be physical. Yeah,
they can if they want to. Yeah,
but yeah.
They're also kind of a high skill game, so I think we'll get a lot of physicality, but we'll also get a little bit of everything as well. So just out of these three games, so I think we'll really see what the Ducks have. And again, like this is very early in the season, and I don't want to like try and be the Debbie Downer. I just want to bring us down to reality so we don't cry halfway through the season.
Oh, and I guess we can even add just a little bit more to this for our next Wednesday episode. We will have a Sunday episode as well, just so everybody knows we're back on the two a week. But if we want to just extend it.
2 a week.
If we want to just extend it, though, for who we play in the next week for the start of the season. So Winnipeg, we obviously played tonight. We won. Minnesota, Calgary, the next night is Edmonton.
Yeah, so that's also going to be a tough game.
Yeah.
Very tough. And
so
I think the most exciting thing for me about that one, besides that it's, you know, the two teams I follow playing together, so I get to watch both of them, but only one game. Besides that, I think the most exciting thing from a Ducks perspective is going to be to see if we can still play our speed game, because we're a very young team. I think the game that we have to play to win is a very fast game, and it'll be interesting to see if we can still play that very speedy game against a very speedy but more experienced team in Edmonton. So I fully expect us to get absolutely shit stomped, except maybe Gibson. I think Gibson will have a good game, but I digress. I think that game will really dictate how the rest of the month is going to go. Because if we have a good game against Edmonton and Calgary, win or lose, I think that
the division rivals, kind of ride
division rivals on the road, two very solid teams that are supposed to make, that are, I think, should be playoff contenders. If we can have good games against those teams, we'll ride that high through the rest of the month at the very least, which would be awesome. So,
and sorry, something as well that I just remembered, and I'm taking a look at the schedule here. We play Winnipeg three times in the next 3 weeks, and then we're done our season with them, I believe. Series with them, I believe, actually. Yes.
Yeah, we are. So,
get ready for a lot of Winnipeg Jets and Ducks games. They will come for blood next game, and that's a week away. It's next Thursday. I'm excited for it, actually. So I think they were saying,
I kinda am too.
On the broadcast, they were saying it was like 500, I think it was like 583 days. I might not have the number right, but it was like high 500s from the last time we played the Jets. I kind of wonder what it was actually from the last time we played a Canadian team in general. So
it'd probably be pretty close to that, honestly. Yeah.
So,
What I wanted to say about that, I'm not a fan of the way that the Jets play hockey. They play a very borderline style of hockey.
A little bit over borderline, honestly, I'll say.
Okay, I'm trying to be very nice because I don't want to offend any Jets fans that happen to be listening. You know what? I don't give a fuck.
It's dirty.
Yeah, I don't.
It's dirty.
I hate it. That's the best way of putting it. I do not like it. So with how intense these games are going to be, especially with the Ducks losing that one, and they're not going to like losing this one, I'm not looking forward to the dirt that we're going to get, I guess.
And unless he fucks it up for himself, Mark Scheifele is going to be back in the next game that we play as well. Mm-hmm. He was serving the last game of his suspension from the playoffs against Montreal.
Yeah, which is awful too, because I consider Scheifele the least dirty Jet. Obviously, with the exception
kind of
that,
turning around a little bit. Though. Yeah,
that game aside, and that suspension totally aside. I honestly considered him the only good thing about the Jets for the last few years. And
it's Connor Hellebuck for me now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
and I guess Brendan Dillon and Nate Schmidt haven't been around long enough for. I like.
They'll get brainwashed.
But yeah, exactly.
So all I can say is, I'm not looking forward to having three games this close together, but I'm glad that it'll be out of the way fairly early.
Well, and it was coming, like it was getting bad already. Like, it obviously didn't seem 100% intentional, but like, you know, there was definitely intent there for contact. But like, there was already
about that cop hit. Oh no, sorry,
I was going with the knee on knee on McTavish. Right, it's the kid's first game.
Yeah,
and you're already trying to take him out of commission. Mm-hmm. Get out of here with that crap. Like, come on.
The one that really ground my gears was Kopp running into Gibson. Like,
There was no attempt to avoid that.
Yeah. Like, there's no reason that you should run into Gibson in that scenario. And he almost got injured. I honestly would have quit the podcast at that point because I knew that this season.
Yeah, 90 degree angle.
Yeah.
No excuse. No excuse. Get out of here with that bullshit. And that's not just coming because I'm a goalie. Get out of here with that. That is bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, so fuck. I wish you could give suspensions for shit like that, honestly.
I'm so glad that Gibson was okay and he was kind of laughing about it and everything like that afterwards. But like, that was scary for a moment because I watched that replay and I've seen that type of fall before. And with, well, it honestly, I saw that type of fall with a buddy of ours, Ryan, from high school. That resulted in him blowing his ACL.
Yeah.
Like it, I watched that and I was like, oh my God. I mean, Stolarz was getting ready to go as well. Right. Yeah. And like, it did not look good for a moment there. So
yeah. Like, I'm glad he stayed in the game because that means that it's, and he looked great for the rest of the game. Phenomenal.
I'm hoping that it means nothing. I'm hoping that it means nothing, but to put you in the mind of a goaltender for a second, because I've been that guy once or twice where I got hurt, but it's okay. I'll just, I'll finish out the game. I feel okay. It's not always, not to kind of be the Debbie Downer here. It's not always okay though.
No. Yeah. That's for sure the case. But I think with how hard the Jets pushed for the rest of the game after that and Gibson not cracking at all, I think he's totally fine. He didn't look like he was
I'm
playing
hoping
it safe,
so and everything.
So, yeah. So, knock on wood, obviously.
Yep, knock on wood.
I think we're in the clear.
Hopefully.
Knock on wood again. We need to stop talking about this. Otherwise, all we're going to hear is just like knocking on.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, let's take a very, very brief break here before we get to what's quacking and wrap up the podcast. Sorry, I'm not prepared. What are we doing? This one.
I got it here.
Did you know that your favorite band also loves your favorite hockey team? If you love hockey and you love music, you're going to love Bar Down Breakdown, a podcast that explores the crossover between alternative music and the sport we love, hockey.
Every NHL player wants to be in a band, and every band guy wants to be a pro athlete.
With guests from all over the globe, come along with us as we interview some of the most captivating names in alternative music and talk about why we love hockey and how it's influenced us.
You know, there was for a few seconds, the thought of like, well, maybe we should wear a Montreal jersey. Then the NHL was like, I think you should stay neutral. And we're like, yeah, you know what? You're probably right.
So tune in every Tuesday on the Hockey Podcast Network, where we'll have a brand new guest and a unique look into the bridge between hockey and music.
I realized I hadn't played any of the other music for the rest of the episode, so I figured I could at least do one here.
It's all right. We did kind of just go straight into it. My voice is a little raw. Like, my throat's a little raw right now, actually.
I can hear it,
The yelling and whatnot, like, during the game and during this.
So. At least we're passionate, right?
Yeah, but girlfriend's family's coming to town this weekend.
Oh, yeah. They're going to think you smoke like two packs a day.
Exactly. Oh, man.
But really, you only smoke one, right?
Exactly. No, I'm kidding. I don't smoke cigarettes at all.
Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs, kids.
Don't do drugs or don't do legal drugs either.
Yeah.
I guess.
Is it legal in California? I have no idea.
Cigarettes?
Oh, okay, sure. That's the question. Do you smoke? What are you talking about? Okay, that's a yes.
Okay. What's quacking? You got apparently a couple polls and a Twitter question.
Yeah,
very, very vague. So I have no idea.
Yes, very vague. So I had to throw this out here because we are in Halloween or in October, which I consider spooky season.
Spooky season. October 1st. Yep. Let's get spooky.
Halloween is my favorite holiday, whether it's a Hallmark holiday or not. It's my favorite one. And one of my favorite movies that I like to watch is The Nightmare Before Christmas. So I had to ask everybody through the Quack Report Twitter account, is The Nightmare Before Christmas a Halloween movie, a Christmas movie, or is it both? Carter, what do you consider it?
I don't know how this is going to go already. Honestly, I can't say because I haven't seen it. So
it's on Disney Plus.
Okay.
Just go watch it. Okay.
Okay. I thought you'd be a lot more upset about that. So, which tells me if you're not upset by it, then it's not a Halloween movie. So that makes it a Christmas movie.
I am upset by it. I'm trying to keep it inside right now.
You're not mad. You're just disappointed.
Yeah, pretty much. From what you know about it, then what would you consider it?
From what I know about it, I'd consider it a Halloween movie, but because there's Christmas in the title, I would say 51% Halloween, 49% Christmas. So we'll say both.
And
I will say that you are correct.
Oh, yeah. Where is it? And I have no idea which one it is. Oh, there we go. It.
And the people agree with you as well. It was a 54% for saying both and 26% saying Christmas, 20% saying Halloween.
Okay.
So, cool. Yeah.
Very cool. What do you think it is?
It's
because
both.
Your opinion, it's both? Okay.
It's both.
Yeah.
It's 100%
your,
both.
Your opinion is king here because I don't know any of the people that voted, so I don't trust them. And yeah. You've obviously seen it. So
yeah, it's 100% both. I dressed up as Jack Skellington for, I believe it was, I think it was the grade 8 Halloween dance or something like that. Grade 8 or grade 9. I dress up as Jack Skellington. I'll define that picture. It's somewhere on my Facebook.
I'd love to see it. I love pictures of baby Nate.
And
it's just like current Nate, but with less hair.
Yeah. No, there was more hair actually at that time. Oh, so wild. It was longer. It was the kind of Billy Idol look.
Oh yeah.
Like the longer blonde spiky hair.
Yeah. So when you said Billy Eye, I thought you were gonna say Billie Eilish.
It's the Billie Eilish phase.
Yeah.
So I had like long hair, long nails, all that kind of stuff. I did a lot of whisper singing. What was the other thing I had here as well? Twitter question. Where did it go here? Oh, yes.
Was there only one poll?
Yeah, there's just the one poll. And well, we only have...
It says polls here.
Oh, does it? Okay. No, poll.
Okay.
And we have one Twitter question. This one just came to us... kind of midway through the week, and I said that, you know, because I wanted your answer on it as well, I would save it for this episode. Okay. So Chase Trainer at Chase Trainer PC on Twitter asks, over under 59.5 points for Trevor Zegras this year.
Oh, for Trevor Zegras. I thought he was going to go with the Ducks on the season.
No.
Oh boy.
So does Trevor Zegras get 50, like at most 59 points, or does he get minimum 60?
Oh boy, that's tough. See, I don't want to, it's tough. Because my initial gut reaction is the under.
On yeah. That.
Assuming he plays a full 82 games, 60 points is a lot for someone in their first full season. So,
but for a high draft pick, what he's capable of.
Like,
I do agree with you, but there are those factors at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
it's tough.
I kind of wonder if it boils down to what we've been talking about for the last year and some of how he is utilized by Dallas Eakins.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it too. And maybe that's why my initial gut reaction is to just be like, oh no, he's not going to get 60 points because there's that fear that Eakins is going to be the helicopter parent over him. But okay, if you who's asking this,
Chase Trainer, Chase.
Okay, Chase, if you're asking because you want to put money on this because you came across this bet, first of all, send it my way because I want to bet on this too. If these are the actual odds, but. You know, you take everything into account and assume, you know, there's games that they sit him for rest because, you know, that's the Dallas Eakins thing to do. COVID is obviously a big question mark, so we don't know if it's going to, A, shut down the entire season, or B, shut down Trevor Zegras for a small period of time. There's injuries, hopefully small, if he gets them. So, like, there's a lot of factors in play and that, to me, scream... There's no way he's getting 60 points this season. But if he, you know, say he pots 2 points next game against Minnesota and he's just really feeling it and he instantly gets that confidence boost, I think he could very well put up 60 points if he then continues that pace and that, you know, kind of gets the monkey off of his back early, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, I'll definitely agree with that too. You know, like as long as he has a healthy season and Dallas Eakins is not an idiot with how he handles him this year, I think he can hit it no problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, for sure. And
he just has to be given the opportunity, and he'll take advantage of it. So,
and honestly, I think 60 points is necessary for him to be in the Calder conversation.
Yep.
And there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to be in the Calder conversation this year. And at least I hope so, because I put $5 on it. So
what were the odds on that? Like, okay, you put, I'm still trying to figure out this betting thing as well. As much as I'm the guy who does the DraftKings reads, I'm still trying to figure this out. Okay. So you put $5 down. So what were the odds, and what could that win you?
The odds, I don't exactly remember, but I remember the potential payout is like $30. So,
okay, that's still pretty good.
Yeah. So it'd be like plus 20. Hey,
$30 is $30.
Yeah. I could do the math in my head, but I'm lazy. So
that's fair. And it is almost, it is midnight where we are.
Yeah, exactly. I am pulling up my bets because I placed a couple others that I want your opinion on before we get out of here. Did you have any other Twitter questions, or was it singular?
Nope, that was
on
it.
The outline? Okay.
Yeah, it was singular. Cool.
Awesome. Well, it is taking forever to load. So I'll just see if I can go off the top of my head. Actually, I realize what it is.
I was going to say, you can just text them to me.
Yeah. Well, no, I want other people's opinions on it too. Okay.
That's
I got to log in. Okay. Do we have another ad we can play?
I don't know if we have anything lined up for the moment.
That's okay. I got it. Verify identity. Remind me later. Okay. Here we go. So the odds for Zegras were plus 500. So if you put, basically, if you put down $100, your payout is 600, 100 plus the 500 return.
Cool.
So, so in this case, because I put down $5, return 30. I also put $10 on Caulfield to win the Calder because I think he's got just a slightly better chance. That would pay $32.50. So what are your thoughts? Who do you think is going to win the Calder?
Caulfield definitely has a solid chance to do it. And I think that's more just building off of last year.
Mm-hmm. He's kind of got Kale McCarr experience, right? Like he's
a little bit,
gotten into the important games. So now the regular season is just...
continuation. So he definitely has a strong shot, but Zegras, and I mean, if he continues kind of like this, like we have three potentials honestly for the Calder this year, which is nuts to think about.
In the Ducks alone, you mean?
Yeah Zegras, Drysdale, and McTavish if he sticks around and continues to do this. Like we have chances here, so
For sure. The other one.
Is there a way to place a bet just that a Ducks player or a Ducks rookie will win the Calder? Because that's a potential better shot.
One, right? Oh, but rather than just trying to pick one of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
If we can just say like a Ducks player will win the Calder.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, the other one I got, and then we'll get out of here for the night. I put $5 on Draisaitl to win the Rocket Richard.
Ooh.
Over Austin Matthews. That would return $42.50.
Okay.
So it was, I think, the second best odds.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, that's actually a good bet.
Okay.
Not going to lie. That's a good bet.
Cool. Thanks. I thought you were going to just shit on me for that.
honestly, biases aside, it's Leon Draisaitl. Like, there's a chance every year. Especially, and it's not just putting it on McDavid, because honestly, the McDavid-Draisaitl pairing is the same as it has been for the last decade with Pittsburgh and Crosby and Malkin, right? Like Malkin kind of being that second quote unquote guy, who could easily be a first line guy, top guy anywhere else, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same with Leon Draisaitl as well. He could do that. So, and to have the added benefit on top of that of playing with Connor McDavid, there's a chance every year, I think. So,
okay, that's good. That makes me feel a lot better about it. Okay. Do you have anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
I got nothing else except I would love us to continue on playing the way that they did tonight. That was a great game to watch.
For sure. Yeah, and I think it makes these episodes more fun. We get a ton more interaction here. There's a bunch of comments that we didn't pull up over on the side here. But it's very, very exciting.
You don't have me crying into the microphone and
save your eardrums a little bit. Well, maybe not. Exactly. We're still screaming, but
it was good. It was good. It was good screams. I did actually have a text from my girlfriend saying, "Hey, can you keep it down?" Sorry, I was just excited.
Yeah. So yeah, that's I really hope that we can keep it up as well. We being the Ducks here. Hopefully you guys enjoyed tonight the game, and for those of you that tuned into the episode, the live episode, I guess. Please let us know if you prefer the kind of immediate game recaps. We'll even if it's not on episode night, we might still try and do a few, you know, just 10 minutes after, just to, you know, get all the excitement out and, you know, get the hype train going. If you're listening to this the next day, then also thank you. Again, yeah, be sure to subscribe, like, 5 stars, all that fun stuff. Nate, where can they, I don't have anything to say for funny for the end of this one. Where can they follow you?
And you can send me all of your, oh my God, why am I forgetting the meme right now?
Oh, the Supreme Victory?
Yes, thank you. You can send me all your Supreme Victory.
We're
going
to say
memes.
This duck is happy?
Yes, that's another one that actually got retweeted by the Ducks tonight.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So, yes, you can give me all of the different versions of those memes, along with your you've been beaten by type memes and whatnot that everybody loves, all the shit posters loves to do now.
Yeah.
You can send all of those to me so that I may use them on the Quack Report as well, at Tate Nomas, TateNhomas.
As well on Quack Report, or at Quack Report Pod, on pretty much everything, and the Hockey Podcast Network at HockeyPodNet. Myself at Carter_Potts, POTTS_97. Go Ducks, go.